December 18th. Come to order, please, at exactly 6 o'clock. Would you like to establish a quorum? Starting on my right.
Norm McClung.
Douglas Ward.
Gloria Fleming.
We have a quorum. Justin B. Nam is not here. And he is not going to ask to extend his term for next year. So we will have two vacancies on the board. Mr. Mayor, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I would be glad to.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
And I would just like for the record to say that we have our astute mayor in our presence this evening, and one of our city councilors, Karen Ward, and ex-mayor Kitty Shields. If at any time you want to make comments or suggestions, you don't have to wait for the public comment part. Just give us your ideas, because we're pretty easy to get along with here. Okay, added agenda items. Gloria, anything?
Nope.
Norman?
Nope.
I have one, and we'll move down to number 11. And that'll be a discussion on extending the expiring terms of Gloria Fleming, Douglas Ward, Norm McClung. Any public comment? No? Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes from September 25th. Any comments, suggestions, or corrections? Gloria?
No.
Norm?
No.
I move that we accept the minutes.
I second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Vote, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Pass. Interview candidates for planning commission meeting. We're going to have two empty seats, and I see that we have two applicants in the audience. So, Mr. Greiner, would you like to start? Take a seat. Press the red button on the microphone and speak into it. State your name and your address, please.
My name is this on?
Not unless you push in the red button.
Okay, I pushed on. My name is Donald Greiner. I live at 16489 Charlotte Day Drive in The Pine. I'm a former counselor. I was on the council at the time that the 20-year plan was being formed, and also about the time they started on the other part of our thing, the laws that go along with it, not laws, but the
ordinance.
Yeah, right. And I've been active in the city. I keep active. I've been around a long time. I used to come over here when I was a kid and watch the community from the time that there was maybe four little rows of, or four little huts that were the hotel across from the one big building that they had as a general store, where you could buy everything from groceries to hunting rifles, and they cut their own meat and everything else. I've seen the different changes down through the years. Some of them I've been kind of happy with, and others I am not too pleased with. And I think one of the best ways to express my views and the views of what the people that I know in this community is to be on the Planning Commission and to explain how others are feeling, as well as the way that we should be going. I also talked to Deborah, and I find that there's plenty of things that I can get into to teach me planning and the way that it's supposed to be done and done properly. And I plan on using those tools, and if I'm put on the commission, to help in this city. With that, that's about all I have. If you have any questions.
Gloria, do you have any questions?
No.
Norman?
No.
Well,
familiar with.
I can say that I know Mr. Greiner for a long time. He was on the city council with us. And I believe he's a man of integrity. And as far as I'm concerned, I think he would. I just have one question, though. You mentioned you used to come here when you were a kid. Did they have cars back then?
No, we always rode horses over there.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Mr. Greiner.
No, I was born in 1930, so I've been around a while.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Alonzo?
Yes.
You'd like to come up and sit down and give us an opening statement, if you would, please.
Okay.
Full name and address, please.
Okay, my name is Rolando Alonzo Jr., and I live at 52465 Medio Court here in Lapine, Oregon. I've been a resident in Lapine for the last 14 years, 13 going on 14 years now, and I've seen the growth in our community. I think being part of the Habitat for Humanity for the last 4 years and managing the ReStore, I've come to get some skills in business analysis, budgeting, marketing, and with all those skills, I think I can bring some value to the Planning Commission in seeing what our community is in need for.
Good. Gloria?
Have you been involved in any other things here in the community?
Yes, I have been. I've done some volunteer work for the city of Lapine. I constructed the city sign that we have here in Lapine. As well as being involved with other organizations like the Chicken and Garden Tour that we have here in Lapine, and other avenues that we got, which is the new one that we just, well, the Gingerbread House fundraiser that we just had here that we just finished up today.
Okay. Norman?
Rolando, you're a busy guy. You got time for this?
I do, actually. I do. And I think with the skills that I have developed in the last 4 years with Habitat and seeing from building homes to running the ReStore and seeing the need in our community, I think I could bring some value to the Planning Commission. Seeing that the Planning Commission sets goals and objectives for future programs, building development, economic stimulants, and as well as effective use of our resources.
Okay. That's all I got. I've never met you before.
Okay.
You've been here a long time?
13 years, going to my 14th year.
And you are a city resident?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you understand what we do, or do you have a good idea of what we do?
In the Planning Commission?
Yes.
Yes. And in the development growth of our geographical area that we have here, yes.
Would you have a problem as a commission member of telling your next door neighbor that he'd have to remove the 16 wrecked cars he's got in his front yard?
Not a problem.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That brings up a point, though. I take it, Don, you're in the city too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So that's good.
So we have
some creek.
One, two, three. There's five of us city and three of us city and two outside.
Okay.
Which is the way it's supposed to be.
Super.
Me too.
Super.
Okay. You have any further comments you want to make, John?
No further comments.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on Mr. Gray? No?
No.
Then I will entertain a motion to tentatively approve Mr. Greiner to our commission.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
And any further discussion? No? Okay. A roll call vote.
Okay. Norm McClellan, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
Okay. Mr. Greiner?
Welcome aboard.
Based upon your approval to the full city council, and then I'll accept the same motion for Mr. Alonzo.
I'll move. So moved.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. Any additional?
Yep.
No? Okay. Roll call vote.
Norm McClellan, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
Okay, all right. Both of you will need to go before the city council when they call you, and they will accept our recommendation or reject it, and then you will be, if you're accepted, you will be here with the rest of us.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I have one comment I'd like to make. A year ago, we made arrangements to be in out of state for the month of January. So I leave. We get into the house January 5th, and the last day is February 5th. So I'll be gone that month.
Okay. Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll ask you a question. We'll send this to the council for your next meeting, which will be in January. Are you going to be available January?
No, I'll be gone.
Okay. In that case, if he's gone, what is your
get rescheduled to come before the council at the February meeting. That's not
okay.
An issue.
All right. Good. Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Nuisance abatement ordinance.
Good evening. What I thought I would do tonight, and for the record, Deborah McMahon, I'd like to kind of recap what we had done last time. We had provided you a draft and received comments from the Planning Commission about your issues and concerns, and those were put into the draft last time. And then there was kind of a little bit of a screw-up in that earlier in the year, Jeremy had done something for Steve and really just recreated a lot of the work that we had done. And since our city attorney had crafted a draft that was extremely comprehensive, I thought I would go over that tonight. And if you saw in my issue summary, I'm recommending that we follow this format. And then I'll update you on Jeremy's comments today because he had some follow-on comments. In this particular draft, it is a nuisance abatement ordinance. It has definitions, and it has more of an umbrella structure, so there's greater flexibility for the city. So that if something comes up, and you remember at the last meeting, somebody had mentioned a macaw parrot that was causing problems in the neighborhood. Well, if I listed every species that could cause a problem, I'm sure I'd miss one. So the umbrella approach is a better approach, and I like the fact that Jeremy's already vetted this more broad program. Now, when Rick and I had an update meeting with Jeremy today, he said he would like to produce a more effective, or as I call it, a skinny version that has less process and is more effective and easier to enforce. Doesn't change the tempo, doesn't change the contents, doesn't change how we would approach code enforcement. And Jeremy said he could have that available for public notice for the February 12th City Council meeting. And my recommendation to you tonight is that since the internal components of this ordinance are not going to change in any substantial manner, I'd recommend that we allow Jeremy to make those adjustments and get that ready for the City Council hearing. There's only one thing that I asked Jeremy about that would be a physical change to the document, and that is on the second to the last page under violations, section 49.1, where we have talked about a violation with a fine not less than $100 and not more than $250. What I asked Jeremy to do, and he already had it on his list because, you know, he's been looking at this very carefully, is that when there's an infraction and somebody's violating our codes, the fee ought to be per day because that's per occurrence. And it should be permissive so that there's flexibility for the city manager. So he's going to work on that language and change the $100 to $250 and the $250 to $500, and then have language that allows for the city manager or the city council to modify that should that happen. Now, here's what can happen. Let's say we're working with a property owner and they leave town. Well, physically, you know, they've got a work program, but they leave town. They haven't quite fixed the violation. And our code says there's a per day fine for that. when the issue comes up before city council, the city council would have the flexibility to modify that fee. But we need a fairly good hammer to make sure that people understand that the fee is that's going to be imposed is a deterrent to people, so they understand that you really have to fix these violations. And so that's one physical change that we talked about today. Otherwise, as I mentioned, what you will see from Jeremy is a thinner, more effective version, easier to enforce, and that's why we're recommending that you give him that ability so that we can make that February timeline. You don't want to be too many months taking over a land use program and not have the enforcement provisions in place.
Can I have some clarification?
Sure.
On the fee per day, so it would read violation of is punishable by a fine of not less than $100 per day?
It would be not less than $250 and not more than $500 per day. So the per day would be at the end.
So it would be $250 per day.
Yeah. Or no greater than $500
okay.
per day.
Okay, all right.
At what point did that take effect when the fine, I mean, how much time have they had to conform?
When you look at the process that's in here,
right.
We start with notification, mm-hmm. letting them know that there's something wrong with their premises, sending letters, asking them to come in, working with them on a work program, step by step by step. And at the point that we're not getting a response, we can assess the fine. Or if something is a direct threat to public health and safety, it'd be immediately.
Okay.
So if somebody's got a fire burning out of control, or, well, that's handled by fire, but let's say they are storing solvents and they're leaking and we see it coming into the street, they get fined immediately because there's a cleanup cost immediately for us
right.
to deal with that.
Okay,
that's
so
probably a better example.
There's more than enough time then for them to,
yes,
to comply.
Okay. That's right. Unless there's an immediate threat.
Okay.
And that's when we have to protect the public.
Okay.
And I just want to reemphasize again, this is harsh medicine. And it's meant to be that way, so that we have the tools in the county or the city code that help us look at all of the things that are occurring within the city. Now, does that mean every single thing that's in violation with the land use code or the subdivision ordinance or any of our other ordinances is going to be enforced on February 12th? No. It's something that is going to be mostly regulated by funding, because we don't have a lot of funding for this. So it's going to be a combination of complaints, things we see, things that other agencies tell us about. We may get assistance from the county, we may get assistance from the sheriff's office. Working together, we're going to pragmatically bring things into compliance, because we know in neighborhoods we have things that are not conducive to a neighborhood environment. In the commercial areas, we probably have encroachments, not enough parking or parking that's utilized for things other than cars, so that forces cars onto neighborhood streets, things like that. In the industrial areas, really not too much. The things I get worried about in the industrial areas is when somebody moves something onto a site for storage and they haven't come through us. And I don't know if the setbacks are met, I don't know if there's hazardous materials or whether the fence is needed. So, you know, there's a land use process to take care of that, and a lot of that's education. But I really don't want anybody to think that we are going to have the resources to handle everything. It will be on a triaged basis, and the most important things first. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that.
Well, for Deb right now, we're using your mic because you're turning your mic on.
I'm not talking loud?
No. But see, this is now part, we're trying to record this way. So since you guys have met, some of you come to the council meetings, but you'll notice, why don't you all pull it forward, hit your blue button and run it. You need to really pull it forward, you gotta lose your papers over, because that helps everyone in the room, and it also helps our recording system so that Ashley can hear. Okay, go ahead and run, say something. It's a little text.
You have to push the button.
Push the blue. Red is if you're going to do a talking for quite a while. Then blue is if you just want to blur out a quickie comment.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'd like to make sure it's working for everyone.
Mine works.
No, it's not. He's got to get closer.
You got to push the button.
I did.
Yep.
It doesn't work now.
Yep.
Mine works.
Uh-oh. I guess it doesn't.
That's the one that's...
It don't work for me.
Well, there are two mics that should be folded down. That's why they're folded down, and someone folded that one up. So that is a dead one. Okay, you need to pull that over, and then that, you grab the one next to you. That's... There are two dead mics here.
That's the other one. That's the other dead one? Over here.
There's a dead one here.
Is this the one?
Yeah.
Mine works.
There you go. Well, we're working. But this is much nicer. You don't hear quite the hum. You can hear it. Kitty, can you hear back there? So we are trying to get everyone educated on it, or else we might as well just take them out. I mean, that's...
What if you have stage fright?
Well... That
just
get over it.
Because we're getting a new website, and you know, we're going to upgrade the quality of everything. And right now, what's really happening, that little tape recorder out there is what's recording everything, because with the system as it works, we can't get people to use the mic, which means it's just kind of collecting everything in the room. So we want to try to get people to pull. And the company come in, and he said, you have got to pull the mic forward and talk in it. You can't look this way and talk. You look at the mic. You have to do that in order for it to work. He said, they put the system at the new Oregon Nike football headquarters for $100 million building, and he said, you still have to look at the mic. So, anyway. We need this nuisance ordinance, and I think you guys have talked about it, we've talked about it over the year or so, trying to get it. What I find, most of the complaints that we get here, and all of you have had, are not really building code violations, and they're not zoning. Sometimes they're zoning, but a lot of it's just a nuisance, stuff you don't like. And until this is adopted, we really don't have a way to go after those real, real bad ones. And that's really why you do it. This is, you know, it's like, how many people have got a ticket for 56 miles an hour? None. You can virtually say none. Technically, you can get a ticket for it. It's the same here. And I think Deborah is trying to show, well, it says, consider a whole lot of stuff in here means that it's kind of like going 56, but the officer, i.e. the city, uses discretion. And you have to, and staff will, and code enforcement. So, while, you know, what will happen when people see it, it's kind of like, well, my gosh, I can't have a car at home. Yeah, you can have a car. Can you have 30? Five of them stacked on top of each other? No. Can you go 90 down the road or 80? Maybe not. And that's the way I look at it. So, because if you read every line in here, I think you start to say, well, my gosh, this is pretty heavy-handed. It has to be heavy-handed so that you have the ability to kind of go in. And you got 100 years of none of this too much enforced. Do not look for us to be hunting up and down the back alleys of the Kegel subdivision looking for violators. They're pretty obvious, the biggies, and you know, we'll just kind of work on those and work with people to get compliance, and 99% of the time you will get compliance. And you won't even have to worry about going to court, going to trial, but you will have, you know, you'll know, you'll get one or two, I would say. But we look at it very pragmatically that this is not an answer, this is no silver lining, it's just gives us the ability. You take the building that's been abandoned down here, they started the remodel. The county has said from a code standpoint, building code, there's not really a problem there that rises. Again, that would be like, yeah, if you're going to write a ticket 56 miles an hour, they could do it, but it just doesn't work. You might not like it visually. See, this gets us down to where you have a little more ability to do things. So it's important. And we do need to get it approved, and we plan on doing it in February. If you guys move it forward, And then what, after it's approved, what I plan on doing is having a, and we talked about it today, is having kind of a session with folks, put it in the newspaper and let people come in and we can talk about it, not a town hall, but just kind of a thing. And the reason I gotta be careful, as you just said, the state's right. Now, the mayor may think, well, people had a chance to come in. When the mayor's behind a microphone and he says, come up, give your name and address, for a lot of people, that whole discussion is now done. It's outside my comfort zone. And in a hearing, we have to do that. But what we want to do is educate people and make sure that people understand, can freely ask questions in a very low-intensity setting, and really it's to educate. So one of the ideas is that maybe after this is approved, we'd have kind of a, you know, a session where folks can come in and talk. I'll throw that in with the business license because we'll have both of them hitting, and I think that that would be a good chance for folks to come in. But we do have to educate folks on this, and, you know, it's part of it.
Question. What would be the appeal process on this? Would people appeal to the city council first, or would they come to the planning commission, or would they just talk to an officer, or how would, you know, if they have like a logical explanation and it's kind of an odd circumstance, I don't think we're going to push it.
Yeah.
But who do they go to?
Well, if staff receives that information, it goes directly to the city manager, who can make that decision. I'm not close enough. So if staff is aware of the solution that's come forward from a violator, then the staff can immediately go to the city manager and get a ruling and have it resolved. If something at that point can't be resolved and the property owner feels like, no, they need to take it higher, it would go to the city council. We're recommending that the city council be the last stop so that we can encourage people to resolve things locally. We don't want to spend our time or money in the court system.
So the council's going to be, it'll come to the city manager and then to the council, and if that's what, but you could discuss that. Now, because this is what you want to do, this is kind of the time you, you know, there are some nuisance ordinances in some cities that the third step, it's actually outlined in there that you could then appeal to the circuit court in Deschutes County, and which would be in Bend. Our costs go way up, and a bunch of cities don't. Now, anything, as Jeremy said today, anything can be litigated. So if someone feels that your ordinance just isn't fair and isn't right, and the mayor has gaveled it down as the law of this city, because I'm the mayor, and he says, well, Mr. Mayor, that just flat doesn't work, he can go ahead and they can file in the circuit court. It's just not part of our appeal process.
Mr. Mayor, did you have a comment?
No.
You raised your hand a little while ago.
No, I'm good.
Okay. You have any further questions, Ron?
One question. You said it was going to be an educational process. I think that's a big point we need to follow up on. And newspaper, all the little newspapers, even, or Ben Bolton probably, and, you know, we do need to emphasize that, because that's going to take some of the questions away, some of the problems away, once this goes into effect.
Absolutely, and more awareness of our land use program will help people understand the zones and what's allowed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Laurie, you have anything further? All right. Then I'll entertain a motion that we approve ordinance number 2013-05, an ordinance establishing definitions of nuisance penalties and procedures for abatement of nuisance in the city of La Pine.
I so move.
I second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Norm McClung, aye.
Laurie McClung, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye. Passes with a majority. We'll send that on to the city council for their
February.
Approval. And
we're
changing
to do that in February.
Okay.
Yes.
Actually, what we might do is have a notice as on our work session in January, so people can kind of do a little more of the informal,
right,
with the council.
Right.
then the council night's more formal, we'd approve it, and then we'd have kind of an open house type thing later in February on it. And that particular night of February, you'll do business license, this, and what was the third, something else. So we'll have a, put an official night that night.
Okay, Deborah, would you like to continue on with number 9, update on assuming planning duties?
Yes, January 6th is our date for assuming land use planning in Lapine, and as you know, Deschutes County has been performing those tasks up until that date. You had a question earlier about some of the responsibilities of the Planning Commission, so I might weave that in to this process. As you know, the Planning Commission is the state-authorized citizen involvement body for planning in Lapine. And when the comprehensive plan and its supporting ordinances was adopted, the city also got approval for the Planning Commission to serve in that capacity. And what that means is you're responsible for managing the ordinances that we had approved. And you're also responsible for land use permits that require your review and approval or non-approval through the procedures ordinance. Not everything that's applied for on a permit basis will come to you, mainly because of expediency. If it's a simple project or it's a simple request, staff will do that. But you will always be informed of every single land use permit that we authorize so that you understand what's happening in the city. And that's very simple to do. Things will be computerized and numbered consecutively so that there will always be a number connected with the year of the activity. And that way we can start building a history as well. One of the things that will occur with the new program is we have to have handouts, so we'll be formulating handouts and cheat sheets for people. We'll be making CDs of all the codes because developers who come in will want that. The website will reflect that data because those are ordinances and people will be able to go to that. And those who are computer savvy and prefer that will find the website being a big help there, and that's in progress. As an example, you'll see that some of the forms that we'll need also have information and checklists for the applicants so they know what they need to submit. Staff is always available to help people through the process. I'm typically available by phone or email, and I'm here on certain meeting days, of course. But what's been happening so far is in the past when people have a question and they're aware that Lapine is transitioning to its own program, people call, they ask questions primarily about site plans and fees, and the fee ordinance and fee resolution has been adopted by council, so that's in place, ready to roll. And they ask about process. Well, do I still need to go to the county? Yes, for a building permit, you'll go to the county. But the county will not sign off on that building permit until the city of Lapine has signed off that the land use is in compliance and there's no problem. That'll be an electronic process, and that'll be emailed to Deschutes County. So I'll get a request to approve something, and then I'll check the setbacks, make sure the use is appropriate, that they got their land use approval if they need it, and then that's just checked off, and the fee that the county collects for the work that we do for oversight will be transmitted to the city every quarter. So there's a fee for that oversight process. And then, of course, for any application that comes directly to us for land use, we collect a fee as well, and that's based on that fee resolution that I mentioned. Other responsibilities for the Planning Commission. You serve in a legislative capacity when new text or improvements to those ordinances are required. So just like what we did when we developed them in the first place, if somebody says, wait a minute, there's something in this code that needs to be smoothed out a little bit, a text amendment will come to you. And I suspect for the first year until everything's tested, staff will be bringing those things to you. you know, we see something that we missed, or we see a need to improve an area that came up today is design review. We talked about it during the adoption process, and we thought maybe we're not ready to do that in La Pine, so that's not in the site plan code, but maybe next year it's time to think about how the exterior of buildings need to be regulated. So that'll be on the books for something that we have to do in the future. And that is one of your responsibilities. And then you forward that to the city council, who again, in the legislative capacity, would be reviewing your work and determining whether it should be adopted. So for the planning commission, you won't have day-to-day tasks. You will have projects that come to you. You'll be given a staff report and a recommendation from staff so that you have some idea of how the criteria have been met or not. And then after you receive the staff report, you will be making a decision based on those criteria that come right out of the zoning ordinance or the land division ordinance. And those will be your primary tasks in addition to defining the text. Is it going to be strenuous? The answer is no. Are you going to be overloaded? No. I think having the extra counselor, or excuse me, the extra commissioners will be a big help. And we've already had a request to scope out fees and a process for an expansion to a city motel. That will be an administrative process because that land use has already been approved. Adding units is not a significant process. And there was one other thing. Oh, we also had a request by a person who wants to build single family homes just off of Riley Street. And in that particular area, the lots are very small. They were platted small. And our setbacks in the code are 10 feet on either side for a total of 20, which is 5 feet more than what the county had when they adopted that particular plat. So that person is going to ask staff for an exception. And if you remember in the code, for things like that, little wrinkles that have to be smoothed out, the exception process is documented, and then that person gets his exception and he gets to build the house just like everybody else in the neighborhood, so things don't look out off kilter there. So that will be also a first application that we'll send to you so that you're aware of what's happening. What else can I tell you? Is there anything else about your tasks and duties that we should go over?
No, I think you made it very, very clear.
Okay.
Mr. Greiner, Alonzo, did you get a good overview, understanding of what we're going to be doing coming up this next year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good.
There'll be a test.
No.
Okay, yeah, there will be a test.
Well, I'm listening.
And donuts.
One question. You said you had a fee schedule already adopted?
Yes.
Is it just a copy of Deschutes County?
No, it's customized for our particular land use program. And it has a base fee, which works much like a deposit for most of the tasks and permits, and then time and material on top of that. So if we have a task and it goes beyond the base fee, we can charge time and materials. So the city is never in the red for a land use process. And the theory is that the program will be self-supporting. Now, as you know, in the very beginning, that's not possible because we just have, you know, overhead that can't be accommodated with a land use fee and still be fair. But the theory is that whatever time it takes to process the permit will be recaptured.
We could send all them that fee schedule we just adopted. It's a whole bunch of fees.
Got it. Yeah.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
I know, Mr. Chairman, I think what you people are is kind of eyes and ears out there for things. You see. In other words, you get to adopt what you want things to look like, and kind of you set the vision of the community. And that's kind of what's been done since the city formed with all the zoning ordinances and everything. And now the adopting of the nuisance abatements. You're kind of the visionary. Could be you want to, she talked about design standards, maybe that's next. Some of the things you already approved before, you may say, hey, that's too strict or not strict enough, the sign ordinance. You'll make adjustments. So it's a little bit like the council. The council is to set the policies, and then the staff goes out and interprets and takes it and enforces and runs with it. You yourself are not involved day-to-day or running out on the job site, flashing a business card to say, stop the hammers, I'm on the planning commission. And that's the same council, you know, they might think, hey, is our snow, do we plow enough streets? But they don't jump down in front of the grader. And that's hard for people sometimes, so I think it's important. And so your role really is important. It's to set the policies and the procedures and what we want to do. But day to day, which isn't the right term, but if you see something you wonder about, let me know, email us and say, hey, has this come in? Because we need, we've got about 1,000 inspectors in Lapine, but you know, having 20 or 30 of you that know more would help. Because we are going to have to educate people that they have to get permits. And sometimes it may just be a building permit that actually the city isn't always that, we're not particularly involved in, but as I think Deborah said earlier, we have to know if someone's adding something or doing something. A good example is the new dental office. Zone commercial. They applied at the county, never came here, because of course the county should have sent it here, but anyway, it just happened, but it's there. They're remodeling the old title company. All's good. Well, they're adding dental rooms, which all need sinks and water. So they went from a place that had two private bathrooms for the staff of the title company to having dental rooms that all run water all day long. Okay, well then they needed to run the sewer pipe, of course, out of these rooms. What did they do? They went and ran it straight into the sewer line. Well, we have a system where everything goes into the septic tank, and then one line goes out of the septic tank into our system. That line should have went into the septic tank. And that acts as kind of the filter and kind of settles things out. Well, they didn't do it. They already hooked up. They on their own, it just went out and hooked right into our line, because in most cities, that is the way it's done. Well, Scott, they caught it, so then stopped. They now are going to have, now they're going to have to put a little pump in order to get this water around. But that's what has to happen. Secondly, because they're adding all that, they owe some SDCs on, because they're putting more sewer and water impacts. So I went over and talked to them and said, you know, what's the bill, Ashley? About
$14,000
in SDCs. Well, they're in there, you know, I mean, hammering and building, and they've done everything. And so that's why we have to know and sign off. Same reason you want a business license. Because a business license lets you know that somebody's here going to open up. So it's a check for us to review everything. So when you see things, I think for a long time, we need people. Because what I'm finding is people just don't. Our Chamber of Commerce just moved in down here to a new building and put up walls, whether it was them or someone they hired or a friend or relative or all of the above. They didn't come down. Now, they complained about the business across the street not getting permits. Then they wanted to move, and I've told them this. I mean, you know, they wanted to move, and then they're in building walls, having wiring run and everything else. I had a complaint, and I take all complaints. I go by and look, usually myself, to see if I see something. If I see something that I think, then I just email the county and say, hey, do you have a permit on this project? And in that case, they said, nope. I said, well, it's a commercial building. They're putting up walls, I can see them. They're putting up 2x4s and all that. They said, that's in a commercial building, that's not. You have to have permits. So they, stopped them or made them file and get the permits. So anyway, that's the kind of thing that I'm running into all the time here.
What about the dental place? Didn't they go get permits for that? The water and
they
stuff?
They did, but see, the county that never brought it down here, I don't believe, or else.
No, there was a mishap, so they didn't get us in the loop.
And I think actually the county might have had to stop by and say, oh, what are you doing? I mean, people like to get, they get out there and they go, and that's a contractor that knows. They do these all over. But, you know, contractors are all good folks, love them all dearly. But, you know, people, there's a human nature side to all of this. They're not going to self-turn themselves in. You kind of have to kind of catch them, and then they say, oh. So, you know, we do need your help there. And it'll take a while to educate folks here.
A lot of people, they do it too, as, you know, it's volunteer work. They're doing it. And so somehow that doesn't compute to having to get a permit.
Yeah,
and I think part of it, I think, Deb, one of the issues is we'll find it a lot of times because it's already in a commercial building and they're already there, they're just adding something. And see, so they think, well, you know, I'm zoned commercial, it's commercial. But that's the thing, maybe they're adding a toilet. Or we take a private bathroom and then suddenly it's going to become a public restroom because they're changing it from some little two-person office to a brewery. And they threw a sink in the back. So that's what happens, and a lot of folks don't know. I mean, there's some that don't know, some it's better to kind of play like you don't know, and some are just kind of throw up dice and figure I got a 50-50 chance.
The key to this is you can, anytime these things come up, you have to ask yourself, is there a greater impact on the city's infrastructure? From transportation to sewer to water to parking, all of that needs to be taken into consideration. And then those impacts get mitigated through additional fees or a land use process to approve the project. So that's kind of our mantra when those things come up. Are there greater impacts that result from this change? If there are, there's a way to deal with it.
There's a guy's come in and talked to us about a growler station where you fill the growlers. That's kind of the trend all over is growlers. And it's a commercial building and all that. And I told him, I said, yeah, it's commercial as a building. It's zoned. I mean, there's not a zoning issue. And in this case, there's plenty of parking. But I said, you know, you ultimately have to get this all down on paper. And also then you get into the health standards. So maybe a little individual spot that you rented before didn't have to have sinks and hand washing sinks and things. Well, now you're in a growler station, so you do. So that's where then again we get into, and he was, at first he's like, well, I don't know, you know, it's already existing, there's been businesses in and out of there, I'm just the next one. Well, that's true, you are the next one, but, you know, we have to know what you're doing. And so then the Department of Agriculture called me and said, hey, this guy's going to put a growler station in. Well, then they have their requirements, and he'll be fine, we'll get there, and I mean, there's no big issue for him, it's just a matter of going through it. Another question, I guess they ended up calling Deb. Somebody wanted in the commercial zone right in the middle of between, I call it the triangle of Huntington and 97. I mean, that's all commercial. There's no gray area there. A company had bought a building, short sale. It's got a good deal. Hasn't rented. Well, now they want to turn it into some or all or partial apart rentals for residential. So they came down and asked me, and I said, well, you know, they said, well, they just think they can. And I said, well, they can't just take a commercial building that was meant for offices and take two offices and call them two bedrooms and take one office and throw in a kitchen in the middle of the commercial zone. So there's just going to be a lot of education.
You said the business licenses are coming online also at the same time?
Yeah, the council's authorized to move forward on that. I just today did a demo on the software that will come with that, so we'll have the whole program with it. The chambers endorsed it, and I think the mayor and the plan to do that, I think at our February meeting, and we'll have discussion again, but then it'll be effective July 1, and we'll spend some time in those months between February and July getting all the names and addresses and that kind of thing. And I think it's a $45 fee on it per year, so made it to where it's not too bad. Doesn't matter if you're in the city or out, if you're doing business in the city. And there'll be some, you know, some folks have to learn on that too. That gives us then, that's a key. But it's funny, the growler guy, kind of a younger kid, he said, you need a business license. Because he went to apply for some stuff, and they said, well, we need a copy of your business license, because they want to prove you're legitimate. And when you say you don't have a business license, it actually causes you trouble. And remember, we were sitting in the, Ashley was standing there, you know, and that's something, and I've heard that before. So actually, business, there are banks and things that won't even make you a loan. They figure if you don't have a business license, you're operating out of your house, or you're off. They want to make sure that you meet all the codes, rules, and regulations.
Yep.
And if you have a business license from that jurisdiction, that pretty well signed by the city, then you know you're legal. And they use that as kind of a checkoff.
The same but, for a wholesale retailer license through the state. You need to have a business license. And if you don't, it really stands out as being odd.
Yeah.
So, one last thing. This is really cool, and Rick will talk a little bit about it too. In previous meetings, we've talked about how does the city cohesively put together its Bible of laws and rules and ordinances, its municipal code, for lack of a better term. And what the city's been doing through a group that codifies all the things that the city's done is produce this document. Has a nice spine, and it's very professional. And it's all the code of ordinances in here since incorporation. And I think Rick's going to continue that process for upcoming stuff, too.
How did you reduce this to that?
By reference.
This is all code and ordinances do. But how did you reduce it to
that's
that?
A good question.
The thick stuff, like what you just pointed out, the comprehensive plan, zoning, signs, lighting, land division, which are this thick, all cities pretty much refer to them by reference, and they have those in an appendix because they're not used typically all the time when you're doing code research.
Yeah, the reason that you want this, now we started it when Mayor Kitty was there, and then continued it with Mayor Ken, and then for a year it went away, the leadership changes. Staff here didn't like these. And so we just got caught up. But it's important because what it does is, you know, like say in 2007 you pass an ordinance dealing with water, and then you do one in 11. Someday you'll do one in 18. Someday will be 2025. Someone comes in and wants to know, what are all your rules and ordinances on water? Well, right now, you have some historical memory just because there's been people around, but as years go by, it's not possible. So when you go to our ordinance book, the regular, just how we do it, it's all by the year. Well, with this, so if you want to learn, if you want to go about water, it will say, oh, well, water is in ordinance 2006-1, 2009 ordinance 10, 2030 ordinance 2. So you can go to those and say, these are the ones that deal with water. These deal with social gaming. These deal with you name it.
And the charter.
The charter. That's why, to me, you have to have it. There is no way that humanly possible for anybody to keep track of. And sometimes two or three ordinances may talk about a topic. So, and then, the other thing is, and I've got to get signed back up for that, because that went away also, is it would be searchable. So if you want to know about social gaming, you could just type in gaming, and it will, any ordinance that has the word gaming in it, it's going to pop up with that ordinance so that you can look. And that's real key. And we'll have that on our website so people can search ordinances and be able to do that. So, yeah, this is, it costs us, what, we just paid $1,000. That was the catching up for the year or something, I think. But anyway, it's probably $1,000 a year, maybe a few hundred if you want to have it searchable online. But I just think it's one of those things you got to have. And over time, it will get thick. Deb's right. When it comes to the zoning ordinances, they don't put those in here because then you've defeated the purpose. Now, but they would be there, and it will refer to them so a person can go to them. But this is more your day-to-day little ordinances that we pass, you know. Otherwise, you'd have a 10-inch book or a foot-thick book.
It's hard for me to pick up. Okay, we'll move on to number 10, designation of terms of planning commissioners. Who's doing that, Rick or Ashley?
I can do it.
Oh, okay. You can do it?
Sure.
All right, then, let me start at the top here. Gloria Fleming, 2012. What does that extend to?
2014.
2014. Norman, 2013.
2015.
And the vacant, 2012.
2014.
Myself, 2012.
2014.
And Justin, 2013.
2015.
Okay, thank you.
But he doesn't want to extend, correct?
What?
He doesn't want to extend.
No.
And so that will become vacant?
What?
That will become vacant?
Yes, vacant, as of now.
Okay.
He informed me on the telephone last night that he's done.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've got two people that you interviewed so they can fill those positions.
That's correct.
That's the thought. And you'll just need to decide which one's filling which spot because one term ends in 14 months.
One is 2015, and one is 2014.
So we need to decide which ones they're going to fill.
Yes. How do we want to go about doing that? Just appoint it, or
you already recommended they move forward. You could just decide. You could have it added here that you want. You recommend Don Greiner for the position that ends in 2014, and you know, or whatever.
Okay.
It's not a hard one to get reappointed.
All right. Do we need to do a motion on that?
Sure.
Okay, then I'll accept.
Recommendation to the council that.
Okay, I'll accept the motion that we recommend to the council that Don Greiner fill the empty seat that ends on 2015 and Alonzo 2014.
I so move.
I'll second.
All right. Go ahead, roll call vote.
Norm McClung, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
Okay.
And then I think probably then we should go ahead, when we approve at the council, we'll approve all those extensions for the rest of you. So what we'll do is actually we'll approve group of you.
We have to do a motion on the three of us.
Yes.
Okay. So that comes under other matters. Okay. Gloria's term ends on 2012. Norm McClung ends on 2013 and I end on 2012. So I would make a motion that the city council approve the three of us to extend our terms according to the dates given to us by Ashley. I'll accept the motion for that.
So moved.
I make a second.
Okay. Roll call vote.
Norm McClung, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
Okay. All right. Planning Commissioner comments. Gloria, any comments?
No, I don't.
Norman?
No, not right now.
I just have one comment to make about our duties. It's very important that you here, the council, and you two keep us five informed of what's going on.
Yes.
And I know that you're going to do that by email. My secretary is doing a good job of pulling up all my emails. So that's my only comment. Any comments from the audience? Kitty, you haven't said a word tonight.
I know.
Mr. Mayor.
Well, actually.
Oh, okay.
I would like to say I'm very pleased to see Rolando and Don Greiner here to come forward for this. My personal thought, I'm pretty sure they'll be appointed, and it'll be great to have that many city residents on the Planning Commission.
Mr. Mayor, any comments from you?
I'm very impressed with the process that that I see in front of me. Oh. You're doing great.
Thank you. Mrs. Kopfler, any comments from you?
All sounds great. All we have to do is make it all come together.
Alonzo, anything to say?
I have nothing to say.
Mr. Greiner.
I'm a little too early to say too much.
I can save it.
Then I'll accept, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I second.
All in favor? All right.
Aye.
Aye, aye, and aye.
Yeah, we got a hammer to hammer.
1 hour exactly.
59 minutes.
I'm trouble with this high power microphone system. We got some microphones that don't work.
We're going to get them fixed.